shit. Oh. Make sure you can at least hear me. Oh shit, this shit is not clean. There we go. Oh, shiny face and all. Shiny face and all. All right, let me just make sure I can be heard. Because for whatever reason. There we go. Hit that like as you come in. Alrighty, there we go. Get a little, got the ring light. Actually, I might need a little, hit a little touchy touch. There we go. What's up, everybody, and welcome to another quick episode of Supreme Decisions. And I'm not sure exactly what we're going to do today, but just know that the Super Chat is up. So if you want to shoot your boy a donation and don't want to use Cash App, which you should, Cash App is encouraged. You always have Super Chat. But today, as you can see in the title, Supreme Conversation is going to be more so of a, I guess, a story versus a conversation. Because the one thing I appreciate is the fact that people challenge me. I guess that would be a good thing. But just to give you a little bit of the story is today, myself and my sister-in-law, we were riding and got a speeding ticket. Funniest shit I've ever seen in my life. And the reason why it was funny wasn't so much the ticket itself, but it was the fact that the officer, when he got out the car, came up on the passenger side where I was sitting at and never spoke to her who's behind the wheel at all during this entire exchange. And the greatest part about it is during our interaction, I guess you can call it that, it was the fact that at no point did he ever say, you know what, sign the ticket, do this. Or do. It was almost as if he was distracted. But hold on for a second, I'm going to get you. I want you to see the bottom of this ticket. Okay. There we go. See the bottom of the ticket where it says sign? Well, citizen signature. There is no signature. He wrote non-compliant. But note, I said that he never spoke with the person that was behind the wheel. Now, anybody that knows me and knows anybody that I'm with, if you down to fight, let go. That's where we're at. But this is one of those because for whatever reason, this is a part of what I've been speaking about. You had more than 6 to 8 weeks in some sections where there was no policing. So you had issues of revenue generation because most cities, a good majority of the major cities, they actually have their functions are funded through the policing operations of pretty much vilifying and criminalizing life. Now, again, this is one of those little things where in the most, I guess, mundane part of this is the fact that they're doing things just to generate revenue. And I had a young man who was a paralegal and he was talking to me because there was a stop that was made and there were several instances that was going on with it. And in the midst of it, traffic or the speeding portion of it was one that he was going to concede. And I told him, I said, no, you challenge every aspect of the stop. Now, you've seen the past couple of videos. One was buyer beware, which, you know, kind of doesn't really relate to this situation. But the two before spoke about how, you know, the traffic infraction itself is not a crime. Even in the instance of going through, and when I talked about the signing of the citation was a, what do you call that? A contract. Somehow approved. But yeah, the contract of it. And I had someone telling me, oh, well, you have to do this and you have to do that. No, you don't, because just like I showed you, he never spoke to her. And at the bottom of it, he put non-compliant. He never said a word to her. That was the funniest part of the whole stop. He's giving her a citation for speeding, which, you know, it was hilarious because the thing that was put on there was, again, it was the most funny thing I had ever seen. However, that actually is proof that when I spoke, you don't have to sign a citation. It is not against the law. It is not a crime. There it is. Because he never once asked her, and nor did he actually even offer it. Because again, there was no conversation between the person behind the wheel and the police officer. But back to the story with the paralegal. I tell you to challenge every aspect of a police encounter, no matter what it is, even the stop itself. And again, concession of the speeding ticket. Now, again, as you know, I have the speeding ticket. So, the easy is understanding what it is that you can ask for, because we actually did do discovery. We're doing the entry of appearance, which I told you, I'm going to represent my own interest, blah, blah, blah. Here's the entry of appearance. We did the motion for discovery, because that way they know exactly who to send it to, where to send it to, and why. And tomorrow, the first show I'm going to do tomorrow that's going to be live is I'm going to talk about the discovery process as far as how I write it up. And then the second part of it is going to be the inst of, not necessarily how I write it up, but it's going to be, I'm trying to think of the appropriate word for it. But the actual organic code that goes along with it, but I'm going to use Florida and Texas because those are two of the places that I'm actually doing something on. So, you know, just to give you, just to show you how they mirror it. And I'm also going to talk about the Government and the Sunshine Act, which are pretty much your restrictions of why they wouldn't send you something. And then I'm going to ask the beautiful question, because again, I know I have a lot of cop watchers and cop lovers and all those that follow. And the question is, if it's codified, not only in federal law, but in state statute, but the one thing that you have to understand is the context of if it's in their rules and they don't comply, why is it they aren't doing that? If they're the good guys, if the things that they're saying is right and just and true, why are we having an issue getting stuff from them that they are required to do because of their rules? But again, that's for tomorrow. And then hopefully tomorrow evening, I guess we're going to have like an interview, and it's going to be one of the guests. I'll let you know if it's going to be on this channel or if it's going to be on another channel. But it will probably be done. It will be on YouTube. I'll let you know some point during tomorrow, hopefully by the first broadcast. But here's the easy. What we're going to talk about tonight, after saying 20 minutes of nothing and establishing I have a ticket, and we're going to challenge the speeding ticket. But it's going to go through how. Okay. Chef, I haven't seen you in a while, Chef Justice. But yeah, this is gonna be the how. Because again, when you're doing, when you're talking about an in-state, out-of-state, the whole thing is understanding the context of what it is that you're doing. Because the easy is, I guess, dotting all your I's and crossing all your T's. Because the only thing you can control is what you're doing. And I'll actually put something up to let you know, how to kind of shield yourself from that. But when you're talking about a speeding ticket, one of the things I actually did, I'm not sure if you can, yeah, you can see a little bit. But over there is part of, let me see if I can kind of move it around. Actually, I got the mouse right here. I ain't got to do all that. There we go. Boom. As you can see, it's, well, no, you cannot see. A little bit of the motion for discovery. And the part of it, because again, this is just something that I kind of start off with, because again, not every case requires all this, but this is definitely what can be asked for and why. And the first part of it is any and all audio associated with the above stated charges or allegation. And again, that's a no-brainer, because you want any audio and video, it's not going to be turned over. And if it is, it's going to be manipulated. It just is what it is. But you ask for it anyway, because if you want to set up something on it, then you can kind of attest to it. But then, actually, let me see if I can do something else. Because I don't want that one. Let's see if I can do, bang, is it on this one or on the other? It's on the other screen. Give me a second. Bang. Boom, that goes back. What is this one? Not the one I want. Not the one I want. Is that? No. Oh, you know what? I can do it right here. I appreciate y'all bearing with me for a hot second. Because, again, I want you to understand what we're doing is not rocket science, but it's the understanding of how to do it consistently without a lot of interference. Now, when you're doing the any and audio associated with the above stated allegations, what you want to do is, remember I talked about the specificity within the warrant that they must have, right? When you're asking, be as specific as possible. Here's what I mean. What I did in this one is I placed the officer's name and badge number along with the citation number and the quote unquote location area that they placed it in. Because again, the more information, it's just like Google. The more information you give Google, the better off that it is, and it's more difficult for them to deny it. Because again, that information came from somewhere and it's being specific. So you're not asking for a whole bunch of stuff. So it doesn't allow them to worm out of using or sending you something, calling it work product or not understanding. If you don't understand and I'm being specific about a certain date from a certain officer at a certain location, I think then the question that actually goes to your favor, because again, a judge wants to rule in your favor, but you have to give them a reason to get out of your way. You have to offer them an opportunity to cover their own ass. And this is one of the ways to do that, by being as specific as possible. And the second part of that is any and all communications made to and from the officer on the scene. This would include the officer to report to the scene, which is generally the dispatch sending them there, which would originate from the emergency call made or request for police services. Now, I'm going to come back to that part, because there was a incident I want to say about 2 weeks ago in El Paso, where there was a rally. A young lady decided that she was going to write Black Lives Matter and F the police on her car. Well, she didn't request police services. Someone else did. So when the police came out to her, they were actually surprised that this woman that wrote F the police was cussing out the police officer because, again, she did not request police services. These are things where I talked about even a caller must allege criminal activity. The problem is that when you're sending them out, they're not asking about criminal activity because they don't care. They're talking about revenue, and that's it. And when they're doing it just based off of revenue generation, the context of truth, justice, and the American way are out the window. But this is where you're able to challenge that aspect because you're asking for them to bring that in. I need to know why you were there because I didn't call you and you're offering services to me. There are things that can be addressed. Now, the flip side of that is, what in the hell was I getting ready to say? There was another person I was dealing with, and on their police report, it actually had stated that the person refused to leave. However, the charge or allegation was the interference with a investigation. Now, understand, words have power. The context of words have power because the reason they're saying them are for a purpose. Now, understanding, you can't argue with you. Now, if you're doing an investigation, no one has been charged with the crime. Let's start off with that. If you're doing an investigation, there has been no establishment of a crime. So therefore, a police officer cannot give you instructions to leave. That is a Fourth Amendment violation because that is a restriction of your freedom of movement. I've actually put that up a few times because it was surprisingly one of my most viewed videos. Because most people don't know, a police officer cannot give instructions without a crime because they have no power until. If there is no crime, there is no power. No crime, no power. That's why the casual encounters, that's why they need probable cause before they can arrest. And that's why when we're talking about these stops and these encounters, they're called consensual. Because that's why you're able to walk away from them until they establish, until they establish there is a crime. The problem is, we're having another thing that deals with the quote-unquote reform, but nowhere in any of these reform measures is the teaching of law and understanding of their duty or even the retraining for the purpose of truth, justice, and the American way. So, again, we're going to keep continuing with a lot of this foolishness. Why? Because the training is the issue, not the shit they're trying to fix. Because, again, it's working like they set it up to work. That's what this is. But understanding that if they're giving you instructions to do something and there has not been a crime, that is a Fourth Amendment violation. And unfortunately, this dumbass actually wrote it down. He wrote it. It was written. So there's a reason for a dismissal in just that aspect of it. Now, what I also do is, any calls made and received by the officer during the first contact with the accused. And what I do is I limit it to the date and time that they write. But I then give you a kind of a bridge, like maybe a couple hours. And in this case, I did because it was a traffic stop and it was actually a short stop. It was maybe 5 minutes. But the time that was on the citation was, I think, 9:20, because it was early in the morning, especially for me. But I did it from 9 a.m. to 9:25 a.m. because, again, even dispatch, when they have calls, they keep those logs. They have to keep those logs. So you can get a copy of those logs. But if I'm doing it just for one officer for a certain time period, how many calls is he going to actually get in a 25-minute period? Especially when most of that time period, he was dealing with you or she was dealing with you. So this is something that you can ask for. Now, depending on how you're going to press, that's an opportunity for you. Do I ever feel that these police are non-human? Oh, and you know what? And I'm going to say this. I think the officer that pulled us over, At no time did he grab his gun. At no time was he aggressive. Like, it's kind of a usual stop for me now. So it's one of those where at no time was I feeling threatened. I don't think he ever felt threatened because, like I said, at no time did he even speak to the driver. And yeah, it wasn't one of those old DeKalb County days where, you know, they come, they aggressive, they got the hand on the gun, they want to talk to you crazy. I didn't, and that's the one thing I tell people, like, I haven't had that in probably the last 10 years. But again, you know, I guess because I look older now and it's a little easier for them to kind of look at me and deal with me because most of the time I'm laid back. Now, not to say it has not happened, but it's generally not directed towards me, if that makes sense. I've had a couple of, but again, it's not in that type of situation. And especially because, like, most of the time whenever somebody's encountering me, I'm standing. So, you know, it's hard to run up on a dude that's 6'4", damn near 300 pounds. Yeah, not really. That's not an ideal situation for anybody because they don't know if I can fight or not. And I'm kind of athletic. So it is what it is. But I do know the demeanor I carry. I'm not a smiling dude. Uh-oh, what the fuck is going on? And why is my live now? Okay, there we go. Let me see what the hell going on. How about this? We just gonna keep it rolling in. Now, the second part of that is, okay, there we go. That, I didn't say anything. If you missed that couple of seconds where it wasn't working, I didn't say anything important, so. But the second one is the dash cam video. Because basically, whenever you're dealing with that, you're not gonna get it. Because I even spoke about one of the videos previous where there was a 30-minute stop, and the officer kept saying, oh, yeah, I got dash cam. I'm recording it, too. And I speak about 76% of all video doesn't come from police. And the police that do send it, it is altered. And that's exactly what it was. We had an hour-long stop for a 30-minute stop, and they sent us 18 seconds of the stop. So even in, I believe I showed you one where it was the Hobbs Act violation. That stop was over 2 hours. They never sent the video. And you can clearly hear the detective that's in the officer in that video say, oh, I'm recording too. Come to the front of my truck because I'm recording too. And they never turned the video over. But again, that town runs off adverse possession. And they'll actually, or asset forfeiture. And that's one of the things they do to generate revenue. They take your stuff. So, but again, you ask for it. You put on the record that you're asking for that. And then what you want is a copy of each officer's sworn statement of the scene. And then what you do, the officers that you know for a fact were there, you write their name and badge numbers on that request. Because again, now you have a breakdown of time. You have officers that are there, that are present, so there should be a... Uh-oh, hold on, let me see what somebody's saying. Okay, but what you have is... Okay, but what you have is the idea of exactly who it is that can have a statement. Because just like I tell everybody, we all can have the exact same, well, witness the exact same thing. Generally, all of our stories will vary simply because we're going to relate it to our experiences or how we see the world. Same thing, same exact incident, same exact whatever, but we're going to give different stories of it. And that's one of the things that we can't argue against. And one of it is ourselves. And this is why I put you in there, because just like I just said about the young lady earlier, the officer actually put in there that he told her to leave or told her to move, and there was no crime. If there's no crime and you're giving her instructions, he violated that. And an illegal act cannot precede a legal one. So even if the citation was legal, which we know it's not, the act of telling her to leave prior was the violation. Giving her instructions without a crime was the violation. Thank you, Armand Land. And Chef, by the way, Supreme, I fully believe your video breakdown of my arrest is one of the reasons the district attorney didn't prosecute. Hey, I appreciate you, man, because I'm going to say this. You're the third person to actually tell me that, even though I don't know what I'm doing, according to a lot of people that watch me. Oh, thank you, Sergio. But yeah, you're the third person to tell me that the prosecutor has actually watched my stuff, and because I know two people actually sent it to the prosecutor and the charges were dropped. So, you know, I appreciate that. And hopefully I'll learn how to do what I'm doing. And just to give y'all a footnote, I've been bouncing around from Georgia to El Paso, Houston, whatever. I've been getting a lot of cases dismissed. Now, one of the things that happened in Houston was the fact that I got two cases dismissed. And in El Paso, I got a couple cases dismissed. What you need to do, if you have a case dismissed, go and get a copy of the dismissal that is signed by the judge. Because what happened was, in Houston, we found out that when we went to go get the copy from the judge, that they had refiled, but under a different affix, which means they had a separate allegation about the same thing. So double jeopardy didn't attach because there was no trial. I'll get into that again, because these are some of the things that they're doing just to generate revenue, just to see if they can aggravate you. And here's the crazier part. They're not going to send out notice of the new filing. Because again, it's about revenue, and you have to be ready to take care of yourself. Because if you don't, they damn sure aren't. So just keep that in mind. Get a copy of the signed dismissal by the judge, because they will do underhanded stuff to make sure that you are there in the system to generate revenue. So now, sworn statement. Now, what every criminal procedure asked for is the simple thing of the complete witness contact list for those that may or may not be called to testify to account to these matters. Now, the reason that's asked for is because it's in there. Because a lot of times, who are they really going to have as a witness other than the police officer? Because you remember, I told you, the police officer is going to come into the case with an amicus brief. Because he's going to come in as an expert. So you're going to challenge their expertise. So understand that. Because the questioning, if it ever gets to that point, if this is done right, will change how the perception of it is. Because generally when you have that, you're not going to have a jury trial. You're going to have a bench trial, which means you're going to only be before the judge. But only being before the judge in this case offers you an opportunity, because most judges don't want the repercussions if they rule not in your favor and you did everything correctly. Keep that in mind. If you did everything correctly, they don't want to not rule in your favor if you've allowed them a way out. Because if you allow them a way out and they still don't rule the way they're supposed to, then you can go after them. And I think that video goes up tomorrow. So be on the lookout for that one, where you can actually sue the judge, because they have to abide by precedent. Now, again, the complete witness list, I ask for it every time, but it's not something that's necessary for the most part. You can put it in there, you cannot put it in there. It just, they can't deny it to you because it's just part of discovery. Now, here's where we start getting fun, because I want a copy of the dispatch records regarding the communication related to above stated matter. And again, I'm very specific. And what I mean by that, I use the time and I use the date. Because again, if I'm specific about what I'm asking for, it's more difficult for them to say, no, we didn't do that. Now, here's, like I said, here's where it gets fun at, because now we get to really have some talking points and we get to really talk about something that has some legs to it. And here's where the challenging begins. You ask for the method of speed detection used in this allegation. Say that one more time. You're asking for the method that was used in the allegation of your speeding. Because one of the things I didn't realize, because again, me, I knew about maybe two, possibly three. All right, well, Chef, you have a great evening, and the video will be up, hopefully without the pause in the middle of it. But if it is, we're going to keep rolling anyway. But I knew about maybe two, which was pretty much your radar detector and then them riding. And then, you know, those are the ones I've experienced. But before we get into that, don't forget to join the Supreme Team. Hit one of them join buttons. There's four tier. Find a tier, join it. Those that are here, hit that like button. Share it with anyone that you think that's necessary. Put all on over your social media and all that good stuff. And I guess, what do we want to do? Yeah, Super Chat or hit that Cash App. Both of them, Supreme Decisions. If you don't want to do the Cash App, hit Supreme Decisions. What is that? Super Chat or PayPal? The Supreme Decisions. And I actually, somebody asked me why I do that. I'm actually a University of Miami fan for some aspects, and I just love the way they do this. You know, such, the U. Or they'll say the Ohio State. See, I love watching college football, but I don't really watch it unless it's the Bulldogs. So, but anyway, they don't say the Georgia Bulldogs. It don't sound the same, but I do love that aspect of it. So, the Supreme Decisions. PayPal or Cash App or Super Chat. But now, like I said, I knew about two, which was pretty much the pacing or the radar. Now, here's where it becomes fun. Because in this ticket, because remember I told you words have power. I understood a couple of things. I'm looking at the top, and it says allegation. And the allegation is the alleged speed, which means both of those are guesses. The allegation is alleged speeding. Okay. And then I look again at the speed. They go, gives me the code, speeding, and then says distance between blocks. Now, I'm going to come back to that. Pay attention to that. Distance between blocks. Because again, I had never heard that. I thought that was crazy. But here's where things got interesting for me. Because me, I know about challenging the radar gun. That's what I do. I challenge pacing. That's what I do. Because those are the experiences I have. However, there are other methods that I ran across. And I'm giving them to you. Because a couple of these have actually made, has opened my eyes to a couple of other issues that I've had. Because again, these cases did not have to go to court. They were also dismissed. But the simple fact, because of the challenge, now I understand how to change the verbiage that's necessary in each particular case. Why? Because I'm going to pay more attention to what's being said in the ticket or the citation. So the methods are pacing, aircraft, radar, lady, oh, excuse me, not lady, you know, might be a lady. Anyway, laser, and VASCAR, which is VASCAR. And basically what it is pacing. There are a lot of challenging points in pacing because the road configuration may help improve inadequate as far as if someone's riding beside you. Because if I'm hitting a turn, even if you're watching a race like on TV, like the Indy 500, you see they actually speed up into the turns. Why? Because they use the turns to actually project them into, you know, some geometrical type stuff. And they're just going on about their business or whatever. But they're going through, boom, it is what it is. But that can actually change how fast or how slow you are or aren't going. And let's say there's an officer pacing you and you're going with the flow of traffic and he's using the word pacing. Why? Because that's something that has to be placed into there. And the further back that officer is from you, the more difficult it is to determine your speed because they're not with you. And then even pacing at dusk or dawn. In darkness, the visual cues that an officer will use are skewed. Early in the day, you're just waking up. Maybe you haven't had your coffee yet. It also impairs your natural ability to do something. And even road conditions. Now, a lot of times you're going to have somebody or something that does something crazy or blah, 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 and they're speeding, and they're going over. Certain conditions, you can go really fast. Certain conditions, you're not. And just to give you an idea, the one ticket that I went down and I had a fit about, I was actually in a Geo Metro. I'm not sure if anybody's ever remembered that little-ass car, but the officer said I was going downhill with the air conditioner on and I was doing 70 miles per hour. I'm like, dude, I couldn't go downhill 70 miles per hour in a Geo Metro with him pushing. You know what I'm saying? That car just wasn't designed, but there was nothing about that car that said speed. You know, it just wasn't. But it was also a $12 ticket, so who cared? Like, okay, here you go, boom. It is what it is. But that's pretty much how you would challenge that. What in the hell just happened here? Okay, hold on. Give me a second. What are y'all doing? And why are you doing it? You act like your boy ain't alive. What we doing? Okay, there it is. There it is. All right. For whatever reason, it don't want to do what it's supposed to do. But anyway, but those are pretty much the challenges that you can attack when you're talking about pacing. The road conditions, the distance of where the officer is, the time of day, and the conditions of the road. Those are the reasons why they have certain things that are in the citation, because all of those for pacing are on the citation, because it'll ask weather, traffic, the time of day, and the road surface. Those are the things that are kind of covering for pacing, because those questions are the things that can be challenged. Now, here's one of the things that one of my people in California brought up, and it was the fact that it was aircraft speed detection. Now, I've never experienced that, but I heard, you know, because again, it was somebody I helped in California there. They actually didn't go to court. It was dismissed because we started asking questions pretty much. And the easy is the one that I for whatever reason, I spoke about this probably 6 months ago, but it's something that very rarely any of us do, even myself, and it's ask for dismissal if the officer fails to appear. And that's the easy, because if you have an aircraft, policing, whatever you would call, the dude that's in the helicopter that's tracking you down, if they're pacing you that way, because a lot of times you'll hear them whenever they're talking about the police say, oh, they're hitting speeds at the excess of 60 miles per hour. It's pretty much a guess. That's all it is. They're guessing. But you also want to make sure that they're doing or that they're there. If they're not there, you have an oral motion for dismissal. You can also have one prepared because if they don't have any witnesses against you, the case is over with. And then you have the stopwatch or error reaction time. Now, this one is having to do with, again, they're guessing. But what they're doing is they're setting up quote unquote markers. A lot of times you'll see little markers on the side of the highway, right? While you're riding. Each one of those markers, there's a certain amount of time that you can get from point A to point B. This is something like elementary math, where you're talking about the speed equals distance versus time. That's what they're doing, but it's done in the manner of guessing. So your stopwatch error reaction time, because again, it's human error. And that's one of the easiest things. Yeah, and see, here's the craziest part. Even if you don't get a jury, as long as you get in front of the judge and do it the right way. And yeah, that's a good spot. But here's the great thing. What if they don't give you a jury, but they give you a bench trial? That's the question, because this still prepares you just for that. And then the difficulty of keeping your car in view. And as we know, we watch the police chases. When they're doing it from a helicopter, that is the most shit. They do all kind of crazy stuff just to keep up, and they're not doing it. And a lot of times what they'll do is use the aircraft to pace you. Again, inaccurate. The problems with identifying the vehicle. Ask the pilot how many cars he or she was tracking. Now, again, because the reason you're going to ask why the pilot is going through and how many cars that they was tracking. Remember this thing called equal protection? Because again, if they're singling you out, that's a crime. That's a violation. They can't do that. They can't single you out. So always keep that in mind. And these challenges, the multiple vehicles, the hard to believe identical speeds. And even when you're challenging, you're looking, you're making sure everything that you're doing and everything that they're doing is above bar for the most part, because they're the ones that have to prove something, not you. You just have to make sure that they're actually using what they're supposed to and can use in proving it. Now, when I use the word VASCAR, it's visual, average speed, computer, and recorder. Now, I also just spoke about time and distance. Remember, I also said in the citation they wrote between blocks. And going the between blocks, you have time, distance. You also have human error. And that human error is where the dismissal in this lies. Because you're talking about something that, if the officer is stationary, the officer manually measures a certain distance with a tape or other measuring device, dials that measurement into the VASCAR unit, and then clicks time, switch, then the car passed the first and second distance markers. You got somebody that's sitting there. Notice they don't use that for the Olympics because of human error. Because if you're up there, it's more difficult for me to guess exactly where you are when you are at a far off point than you are if you're up on me. Now, hold on. Let me do something, because it got dark in here all of a sudden. Let me see what I do right here. Don't forget, hit that Cash App. Bang. Yeah, don't forget, hit that Cash App. Super Chat is always available. And the Supreme Decision on PayPal. But yeah, and also, you're talking about the officer making a conscious decision to actually manually measure something. How many people think their officer is actually measuring something, or are they guesstimating? Don't worry, I'll wait. And yes, I pause for dramatic effect. But understanding that, most places don't even allow this. Your lawsuit has no merit, so they fired him to cover their ass. But yeah, that's all they did. Fired him to cover their ass. But again, this is actually not legal. But this is exactly what was done when you're talking about distance between blocks. Because that's what the officer is saying he did. He's using a distance. And he's guessing. And he's trying to time something, which he has no control over. And the short distances are the biggest errors or the greatest offers of error. Simply because, again, it's boom, boom. But again, it's through my eye and me guessing when you pass the first one that's not near me. You got a better chance if it's here. But again, just like if the police officer is off in the distance. Being off in the distance actually hinders him from seeing or pacing your speed. So again, that's one other thing. Because you have the inability of the officer to accurately see when a distance car passes a distance point. That is the one that's far off. The officer's reaction time. What the hell is the officer doing? Is he blinking? Even though, bow, there you go, bow. That little bit of time is still time for something to happen. Is it too early or is it too late? Because if it's too late, I'm going too fast. Because I'm going to hit that point at a real fast distance or real fast speed. And that's possibly what happened here. But the accuracy of the odometer of the officer's car. Because again, they're attaching it to a secondary device. So it's almost like using Bluetooth, because many of us have used the Bluetooth object where if it's not the latest, there's a delay. And if there's a delay in that software, that runs into error. And now, my thing, the radar. Because the radar itself is pretty much outdated. Shit, it's outdated as hell because they're using a pulse and they're still guessing. Because at the end of the day, when you're looking at it, if you're in an area where there's more than one car, the radar is not going to work. That's one of their fails. That's one of the reasons why they don't use it often, because they cannot pinpoint one object. When, if it's raining, if it's wind, or is it stormy, or if you're in Texas, like, that's every day. Raining, stormy, sneezy, dopey, grumpy. It's difficult for the radar to actually pinpoint. And for me, what I always tacked was the chain of custody and the calibration issues that are arisen from the actual radar. And if the radar is actually stationary, so a lot of times, now I have seen this. I have seen this. I have not experienced, but I have seen this. You have some police officers that actually place the radar itself on a tripod or stand so it's stationary. Because if the radar moves, that's in an officer's hand, and he or she is doing this, it becomes inaccurate. Because there can be no real speed. If you're moving and I'm moving, somebody lying. And now, you've actually seen a video that I did this with, and when they pulled over a group of cars. Because, again, that's technically out the radar. They're guessing. But again, nobody challenges that. Because they're pulling over a group. That actually is not legal. So, always challenge that. Because that's the one thing they can't say, you did it. Because, how can you say that? And you actually had three people pulled over. How is that happening? And even here, the laser. The laser detectors are the most recent addition to the traffic officer's arsenal of speed measuring devices. Now, basically, that one is more here. Because again, they're hitting it and they're letting it go. They can move, but they're hitting it and letting it go. And Laser detectors measure distance between the gun and the target car. Using the speed of light and the time it takes the light reflected off the vehicle to return to the laser gun. So again, going here, pull, leg up. That's all they're doing. And then the officer looks down at it. The laser itself is still dependent upon human error. And the beam, it's easier to actually go against the laser itself when there's multiple cars, which generally there are, or if you're going directly at the officer. And a lot of times what you'll have an officer do as an expert when they go to the stand is the officer attests about another driver said about your behavior. But again, that can be a witness. If that witness is not called or made available, that officer's testimony is hearsay. Because again, you're still challenging everything they're saying and doing. The officer wrote on your ticket, testifies about the other officer told him or her, this is particularly kind of likely to happen when someone else is doing the monitoring. Because again, if I'm telling you what somebody else did, I don't have firsthand knowledge. Everything that I say and do is hearsay. Keep that in mind. I have to have firsthand knowledge. I can't go on anything based on somebody else's words. With two officers in a patrol car and one of them observe your driving, the officer who did not see your driving may not testify to what the officer told them. Because again, that goes into being hearsay. So not only are you testifying and challenging what they're writing, you're challenging the allegations, you're challenging their equipment, you're even challenging their words on the stand. You're even challenging their partners if they are any made available. So there are no aspects of this that you don't challenge. And that's the whole point of what I'm doing and how I'm doing it and why I'm saying this. So that's all I have for today. Just keep that in mind. Every aspect of every stop, you challenge it. You don't give them anything because they're not going to give you anything. And don't worry about being nice because they're not going to be nice. Because unless you get up every morning to go and work and hand the state money, go and hand the district attorney money, then what in the hell? You know what? We almost finished it. It's kind of spooky. But anyway.
What is this shit? 06. Brother, are we doing this again? Yes, we are.
Son of a bitch.
There we go. Get a little bit more light. There we go. Get a little bit more light.
Get a little light in your life. Anyway, but just keep that in mind. You're going to challenge every aspect of this, and you're going to challenge to make sure you're able to stand and make sure if they're going to accuse you of something that you actually did it and they can actually prove it, because it's not what you know, it's what you can prove, and you make them prove their case because they're the only ones that have to prove anything, not you. Because again, if you guys noticed, I didn't give you a story about us other than the fact that we were pulled over. Because it doesn't matter. Nobody cares. It might be a good talking point and give us a couple of chuckles and tee-hees. But other than that, it has nothing to do with the actual stop. Has nothing to do with the actual defense. And it has nothing to do with our strategy on how to win this. But I love you guys. Be on the lookout for tomorrow. Don't forget the t-shirts. Order the t-shirts. We're doing a pre-order because I'm actually getting ready to... I think they'll be ready next week. So I think July 1st. So they'll be ready next week. If you ain't got your early order, just on you. Join the Supreme Team. There are four tiers. Pick a tier, join on, and be ready for the masterclass because I'm actually excited about that. And lastly, don't forget, if you think that I have any value, like this video, share this video. I even enjoy your comments. Even if they're snide comments, leave me a comment. I don't mind. It's cool. But keep donating because as you see, we're steady growing. Because if you look at the first videos And now you look 2 years later at pretty much our equipment is different. The way I'm speaking to you guys are different. The level of learning is different. If you find value in anything I'm giving you, hit the Cash App. Hit the PayPal. The Supreme Decisions. Or hit the Super Chat. But at the end of the day, I love you guys. Let's keep going. Let's keep growing. And I'll see you guys mañana. Supreme Decisions.